Take your Bibles now and turn to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. Last week we were looking at the story of Cain and Abel. Cain makes bad decision after bad decision after bad decision, and God responds with grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. But in the end, Cain walks away from God. And today, we've come upon a long list of names, two genealogies, the genealogy of Seth and the genealogy of Cain. Seth sort of takes Abel's spot as the man of faith. And so it's showing these two lines of men, the line of Cain and the line of Seth. So I'm going to start reading at verse 17, and we'll go through chapter 5, all the way through chapter 5. Before I start at verse 17, just look across your Bible to verse 15 of chapter 3. I'm going to read that, and then I'm going to skip down to chapter 4, verse 17. So listen, because these are the words of God. We are to listen by faith. And as we do that, these words will feed our hungry souls. Genesis 3:15. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. And verse 17 of chapter 4. Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch. When he built a city, he called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. To Enoch was born Irad, and Irad fathered Mahujael, and Mahujael fathered Methushael, and Methushael fathered Lamech. And Lamech took two wives. The name of the one was Ada, and the name of the other Zillah. Ada bore Jabal. He was the father of those who dwell in tents and have livestock. His brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all who play the lyre and pipe. Zillah also bore Tubal-Cain. He was the forger of all instruments of bronze and iron. The sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. Lamech said to his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice, you wives of Lamech, listen to what I say. I have killed a man for wounding me, a young man for striking me. If Cain's revenge is sevenfold, then Lamech's is 77-fold. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and called his name Seth. For she said, God has appointed for me another offspring instead of Abel, for Cain killed him. To Seth also a son was born, and he called his name Enosh. At that time, people began to call upon the name of the Lord. In chapter 5. This is the book of the generations of Adam. When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. Man, male and female, he created them, and he blessed them and named them man when they were created. When Adam had lived 130 years, he fathered a son in his own likeness after his image and named him Seth. The days of Adam after he fathered Seth were 800 years, and he had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. When Seth had lived 105 years, he fathered Enosh. Seth lived after he fathered Enosh 807 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. When Enosh had lived 90 years, he fathered Kenan. Enosh lived after he fathered Kenan 815 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Enosh were 905 years, and he died. When Kenan had lived 70 years, he fathered Mahalalel. Kenan lived after he fathered Mahalalel 840 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Kenan were 910 years, and he died. When Mahalalel had lived 65 years, he fathered Jared. Mahalalel lived after he fathered Jared 830 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years and he died. When Jared had lived 162 years, he fathered Enoch. Jared lived after he fathered Enoch 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. When Methuselah had lived 187 years, he fathered Lamech. Methuselah lived after he fathered Lamech 782 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. When Lamech had lived 122 years, he fathered a son and called his name Noah, saying, "Out of the ground that the Lord has cursed, this one shall bring us relief from our work and from the painful toil of our hands." Lamech lived after he fathered Noah 595 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. After Noah was 500 years old, Noah fathered Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And then actually skip down just to verse 9 in chapter 6. The middle of verse 9, it says this about Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. That's the word of God. World War I was sparked by the assassination of Franz Ferdinand, the Archduke of Austria. He was the heir to the Austrian-Hungarian throne. He was assassinated while traveling through Serbia. And the Austria-Hungary, the nation of Austria-Hungary, wanted to wage war against Serbia. And they asked Germany for help, just in case Russia came to the aid of Serbia. Germany agreed to help them, so Austria-Hungary declared war on Serbia. Russia came to Serbia's aid and declared war on Austria-Hungary. Germany declared war on Russia. The Ottoman Empire then allied with the Germans. The French, British, and others declared war on Germany and Austria-Hungary, and on it goes. And quickly, the whole world was at war. Every country had to choose a side. Neutrality wasn't really an option because even countries like Belgium, which declared that they were neutral very early on, were simply invaded by the Germans. So basically, the world chose sides. World War I essentially became a war between two groups of people, two groups of nations, I should say, the Central Powers of Germany, Austria-Hungary, Bulgaria, and Turkey, and the Allied powers led by Russia, Britain, France, and Italy. The lines were drawn, the countries were divided, and the world was at war. Well, shortly after creation, this world, this universe, broke out into war. Satan declared war against God. God declared war against Satan and defeated him in battle. Satan was thrown to the earth, and there he waged war against the human race. And there in the Garden of Eden, he delivered what he thought was the fatal blow to the human race, of getting them to fall into sin. Well, immediately after that, God came to the aid of the human race and waged war against Satan, promising in Genesis 3:15 that a man would come and crush Satan's head and bring salvation to the human race. In this very same verse, God makes a distinction between two groups of people: the offspring of the woman and the offspring of Satan. These two groups refer to their spiritual descendants. The offspring of the woman, Eve, she was, remember, named Eve because she was the mother of all the living. This refers to those who live by faith in the promised Savior, those who live by faith. And the offspring of Satan refers to those who follow Satan in his rebellion. They are dead in sin. These are two groups. Well, after the story of Cain and Abel, we are given two genealogies. The first, descendants of Cain. And then we're given the descendants of Adam and his son Seth. Why does God put a long list of genealogies and hard-to-pronounce names right here? Why does he put that here? Well, what he's doing here is he's showing the development of the offspring of the woman and the offspring of Satan. And from this point on, the whole rest of the story of Scripture is simply the war, the account of this war between these two groups, the offspring of the woman led by King Jesus and the offspring of Satan led, of course, by Jesus himself. Despite all the diversity in this world, the different skin colors, the different languages and cultures, the different religions and different ways of living, there are really only two groups of people in this world. The offspring of Eve and the offspring of Satan. The followers of Jesus, the followers of Satan. The whole world is divided into one of these two groups, and neutrality is impossible. The whole world is at war. Neutrality is impossible. The question is, what side are you on? As we look through these two genealogies, look at these two groups of people, the line of Cain, which is also known as the offspring of Satan in Genesis 3:15, and the line of Seth, also known as the offspring of the woman in Genesis 3:15, I want to look at five major differences between them. Differences that show up through these genealogies. Five differences that distinguish these two groups of people on earth. The first and most fundamental difference between these two groups is their leader. Fundamental difference is their leaders. The seed of the woman, led by Jesus, but the seed of the serpent, the seed of Satan, led by Satan. For this one, we do have to go back to Genesis 3:15. God curses Satan and he says, I will put enmity, I will put hatred and division between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. He will bruise your head and you will bruise his heel. In this verse, God makes this distinction between the spiritual offspring of the woman and the spiritual offspring of Satan. But in the last part of this verse, he indicates that a specific individual from the offspring of the woman will come and crush the head of the serpent. So we can understand this verse as saying that the offspring, plural, of the woman will be led by the offspring, singular, of the woman. And the offspring, plural, of Satan will be led by Satan himself, the single leader. Both of these groups are going to be led by their champion. Their champions will go to war. This whole war that rages on, not just here on earth, but has raged on in the universe, will be decided entirely upon how well our leaders do against each other. Genesis 3:15 says that our leaders, the leaders of these two groups, are going to go head to head. It will be this cosmic fight of the titans of the universe. And Jesus will come out victorious. He will crush Satan. That clash, of course, took place on the cross. And through Jesus, through his death, Jesus delivered the fatal blow to Satan. And from that moment on, Satan was defeated. Yes, he was given freedom after that, but he is in fact defeated. He's cut down. The fatal blow has been delivered. And so through the cross, the victory of the cross, Jesus secured victory for the offspring of the woman and guaranteed the demise of Satan and his offspring. So the fundamental difference between these two groups of people is their leaders. For as their leader goes, so goes their followers. Now, it's important to understand that Cain and those in the line of Cain may not have declared themselves to be leaders or followers of Satan. But because they followed in Satan's steps, he was, in fact, their leader. And because their leader was defeated, they also were defeated. The line of Seth, on the other hand, looked to the one who would come and crush the head of the devil. The line of Seth didn't know his name. They didn't know what he looked like or who exactly he was going to be. But they looked to him as their leader. This is the fundamental difference between these two groups of people. They're leaders. You know, here in church, we may safely assume that everyone here who's here has Jesus as their leader. But you know, one time Jesus, when he was here on earth, he was speaking to the Pharisees, to the churchgoers, those who claim to be followers of God. And Jesus said to them, "You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desire." They didn't proclaim themselves to be followers of Satan, but Jesus said that they are following Satan. Sometimes we deceive ourselves into thinking that we follow God, but under the surface, we in fact follow after the pattern of Satan, following in his steps. We don't bow to Jesus in our heart. We're just going through the motions. Do you really follow Jesus as your leader? If you follow in the footsteps of Satan, you'll be defeated, but look to Jesus as your leader. And when the battle is over and the just settles, you will stand with him in victory and live forever in the new heavens and the new earth. Who is your leader? This leads us to the second major difference between these two groups of people. These two groups build their lives on a different foundation. They build their lives on different foundations. So not only do they have a different leader, but they have a different foundation. The line of Cain lived their lives based on feelings, but the line of Seth lived by faith. As we look down through the line of Cain, we see that the line of Cain did what they felt like doing, what felt good in the moment. They're instant gratification kinds of people. Do whatever your body or your feelings tell you to do. They're controlled by their feelings. Cain killed his brother Abel because he felt like it. He thought that would give him some satisfaction. And when he walked away from God, he built a city to get rid of the feeling of loneliness, or to try to get rid of the feeling of loneliness after he walked away from God. He lived by feelings. Lamech took two wives, the first to ever do that, it appears, because he felt like it. He killed a young man, and actually, it says, literally, it says that he killed a boy. He killed a boy for hurting him because he felt like doing it. It made him feel good, feel superior, and so he bragged about it. Lamech's sons followed various lines of work based, it appears, on feelings. Jabal was a shepherd, Jubal a musician, and Tubal-Cain was a blacksmith. And in themselves, they are actually noble pursuits, but in reality, the reason why they pursued those fields is because it made them feel good. It gave them an identity. The line of Cain lived by feelings. The line of Seth, on the other hand, lived not by feelings, but by faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, we're given a long list of people who lived by faith. And the first three people mentioned in this chapter are found here in the first part of Genesis. And he proves that these were men of faith. Listen to what he says. Hebrews 11, starting in verse 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. The line of Seth is a line of faith. And we actually see this faith played out practically here in Genesis. Eve gave birth to Cain at the beginning of chapter 4, and it says that she got a man through God. There's indication here that she may have thought that this son, this firstborn, may have been the one who would come and crush the head of the serpent. She grew up, or when Cain grew up, it became obvious that he wasn't the one who would crush the head of the serpent, but it shows that she believed in the promise of this Savior. It's clear, far clearer, when we get to the life of Noah. Noah's father said this about him. In verse 29, he says this of chapter 5. Out of the ground that the Lord has cursed, this one shall bring us relief from our work and from the painful toil of our hands. Noah's father thought that Noah was going to be the promised one who would reverse the curse on the earth, that he would be the one to crush the head of Satan. Of course, he was wrong. He wasn't the chosen one. But it shows that he believed in the promise. He lived by faith. The line of Seth was the line of faith. Believing in the Savior who would come. And as Hebrews says, through this faith and their leader, they were counted as righteous. Their sins were washed away by the blood of their leader. They were declared righteous. Even though the death of Christ wouldn't come for quite a while, the death of Christ stands above time, and his blood covers all those who have faith in him. And they are declared righteous. They live by faith that what God said is true, that his promises were true, his commands were true. They live by faith that sin, although it might feel good for a moment, actually brings destruction and devastation and death. They lived by faith that a Savior would come, that their champion, their King would come, who would save them from the curse of sin. They lived their lives with a very different foundation. They didn't live by feelings, doing whatever felt good to them, but they lived by faith. What's the foundation of your life? Do you live your life based on how you feel? What you feel like doing? Or do you live your life on the foundation of faith in your leader? Believing in his promises, believing that what he says is true. What is the foundation of your life? So these two different groups, the offspring of Eve and the offspring of Satan, have different leaders, Jesus and Satan. They have different foundations to life, feelings, or faith. So they have different leaders, different foundations, and now they have a different way of life. They have a different way of life. The line of Cain does things his way, but the line of Seth does things God's way. The way of life for the line of Cain can best be described by that song sung by Frank Sinatra, "I Did It My Way." Instead of doing things the way God told him, Cain did it his way. And so he killed Abel. And then as God offered him grace upon grace, he walked away from God. "God, I don't want you to tell me what to do. I'm going to do it my way." When we move down the line to his ancestor Lamech, Lamech did things his way. He married two wives instead of the creation ordinance of one man and one woman. "I'm going to do it my way." He bragged about killing a boy for injuring him, an obvious distortion of justice, an arrogant display of power. "I'll do it my way. Thank you very much." And he even said that if anyone tries to get vengeance on him, he'll repay vengeance 77-fold. And actually, it's the same. It actually means 70 times 7. He'll get vengeance on him 70 times 7, meaning that if you get me, if you do something to me, then I'm going to get ultimate revenge on you.
I'll do it my way. That was his way of life. The line of Seth stands in stark contrast to this. They did it God's way. Adam had one wife, Eve. Seth had one wife. Moses had one wife. Or Noah had one wife. Not Moses. Moses had one wife too, though. Good to know. This was the way God directed from the very beginning, and so they did it God's way. They followed the pattern of God's way. In contrast to Lamech's decision of vengeance of 70 times 7, the offspring of Eve are later told to forgive 70 times 7. A very different response to being sinned against. When Peter asked Jesus, how often do I have to forgive my brother? 7 times? Is that good enough? Jesus said, no, 70 times 7. The same phrase in the Greek version of the Old Testament. 70 times 7 is Lamech used. Lamech declared vengeance 70 times 7, but Jesus declares forgiveness 70 times 7. The line of Seth, the men of faith, forgive 70 times 7. It's a stark contrast. The offspring of Eve does it God's way. When we arrive at the story of Noah, God tells Noah to build a giant boat with specific dimensions, and the whole world thinks he's crazy. What are you doing, Noah? But he does it. He does it God's way. These are the two contrasting ways of life. If you live by feelings, as Satan did, it leads you to doing everything your way. You become a law unto yourself. But if by faith in the Savior, the King, He leads you to doing things His way. Which way does your life reflect? Is it characterized by doing things your way? Or do you seek in everything to do things God's way? Do you seek to speak God's way, to live God's way, to eat God's way? To think God's way, to mimic His righteousness, His grace, His patience, and kindness, and love. Reflect on your life. Do you seek to live your way? If so, that may indicate that your foundation is not faith, but feelings. And that your leader may not be Jesus, but in fact Satan. Do you seek to live your way or God's way? So the differences between these two groups of people, they are the at least the most striking differences, is that they have different leaders, Jesus and Satan. They have different foundations for life, feelings, or faith. They have a different way of life, living my way or living God's way. This then leads us to a difference of identity. These two groups have a very different identity. The line of Seth finds their identity in God, but the line of Cain finds their identity in their accomplishments. The line of Seth finds their identity in God, but the line of Cain finds their identity in their accomplishments. You know, it's interesting to walk around graveyards and see what people were remembered by. Oftentimes, these epitaphs reveal what they consider to be their defining characteristics. And oftentimes, you see, more often than not, you see that their identity rested in their accomplishments, what they accomplished on life. Michael Jackson, the famous songwriter and singer, when he passed away, his tombstone was set in place, and it says this: "The King of Pop, singer, songwriter, dancer, choreographer, 13 number one singles, 13 Grammys, 197 awards, 37 top 40 hits, Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, and Motown legend." Michael Jackson is identified for everything he achieved here on earth. The famous comedian Stan Laurel from Laurel and Hardy is remembered by these words: "A master of comedy, a genius in the art of humor." identified by his achievements. Well, throughout both of these genealogies, there are scattered here a variety of statements that could very easily qualify as epitaphs, what they would have printed on their tombstone. These are the things that they were known for. These are the things that they found their identity in. Cain was known for building a city, perhaps the first city. Lamech was known as a powerful man with two wives who should never be crossed. Lamech's son, Jubal, was known as the father of shepherds. Or that was Jabal. Jubal was the father of music. Tubal-Cain was the father of industry, forging tools of iron and bronze. Now, besides Lamech, there was nothing wrong with what Cain and Jabal, Jubal, and Tubal-Cain accomplished. They developed civilization. They developed shepherding techniques and music and industry. In fact, these are obvious ways that we see the image of God still reflected in the fallen human race. They still mimic the creativity of God. These are areas that we should be involved in, and all the areas of life involved in as Christians. But the problem is that these were the things that actually defined them. They found their identity in their accomplishments. They considered these things to be the things that gave them value. This validated their existence. Their identity rested in what they did. The line of Seth, on the other hand, found their identity in their relationship with God. The epitaphs, if you will, found scattered throughout the line of Seth are dramatically different. Seth had a son named Enosh. And it says there at the end of chapter 4 that at that time, people called upon the name of the Lord. It appears that Seth led the world in a revival of sorts, a spiritual revival. He was a man of God, and his identity rested in his relationship with God. Later down the line of Seth, we come to a man named Enoch, and we've referenced him a few times. It says in verse 22 that Enoch walked with God. He didn't actually die, but God simply took him up to heaven because he walked with him. Can you think of a better epitaph? His identity was not in what he accomplished, all the things that he did here on earth, but simply his identity was the fact that he walked with God. Continuing down the line of Seth, we come to Noah, and it says there, in chapter 6, the end of verse 9, Noah walked with God. Just like Enoch, just like Seth, just like Abel, Noah walked with God. That's what he's remembered by. That's where his identity rested. These are very different epitaphs, and they make us consider, what do we find our identity in? A lot of things have been accomplished by this group of people right here. You may be able to list in your mind maybe the glories of high school, scoring so many points in high school, or the glories of college, being valedictorian in your class, or the glories of being in the professional world, being successful, making a lot of money, having a patent or two. These are good things to be involved in, but is that where your identity rests? It cannot rest there. In a world of work and wealth and accomplishments, we tend to find the core of our identity in what we do, where we work, how successful we are, how gifted we are, how well we're liked. And our success leads us either to confidence and pride, being puffed up, or our failures lead us to self-hatred and depression. Do you find your identity in what you do, or do you find your identity in the fact that you walk with God? How would your children describe you? Would their first thought be, man, he taught me how to walk with God? or she taught me what it was like to be a woman of God. She walked with God. Your life is going to really show what you consider to be your identity. If your identity is, if your work is your identity, then everything else is going to be sacrificed for that. Or if your identity is in whether or not people like you, then everything's going to be sacrificed so that you can get people to like you. If Jesus is your leader, and if your foundation is a foundation of faith, and you do it God's way, then your identity rests in God. You're a child of God, adopted by the blood of Jesus Christ, forgiven, redeemed, sealed by the Spirit. That is who you are. That is where your identity rests. Walk with God. That's your priority. So this leads us then to our final difference. A different leader, a different foundation of life, a different way of life, a different identity. And finally, these two genealogies have a different destiny, a different destiny. The line of Cain, when we get to the story of Noah, we find that the line of Cain is drowned by the flood. But the line of Seth lives on and is saved. We're going to look at the story of Noah in much greater depth in the weeks ahead. But we find that when we get to the time of Noah, most of the people on earth were of the line of Cain. They were of the offspring of Satan. And only a small minority of people, 8 people, actually belonged to the line of Seth. Noah and his family. But Noah and his family were saved, and the rest of the world drowned. This flood is symbolic of the final judgment, where there will be a flash flood of God's judgment here on earth, and only those who live by faith in the Savior will survive it, because they rest safe and secure inside of Jesus Christ. He is the ark who carries us through the wrath of God. And we pass through unscathed. There are only 2 destinies in life. Life with God in glory in the new heavens and the new earth. And everlasting death. Life separated from God in hell. What is your destiny? This world is divided in war into 2 groups. They are at war, the offspring of Eve and the offspring of Satan. The line of Seth and the line of Cain. The followers of Jesus, the followers of Satan, those who live by faith and those who live by feeling, those who do it God's way and those who do it my way, those who find their identity in God and those who find their identity in their accomplishments, those who will live with God forever and those who will be destroyed in hell forever. The world is enveloped by these 2 groups of people, enveloped by the war between these 2 groups of people. The question is, what side are you on? We live in a world that teaches us that we are to be neutral about all these things, about life, about religion. Our government, our schools teach us that we should be neutral in our position, in our religion, in our disposition. Everyone's going to heaven. Everyone's right. But don't be fooled. Neutrality is impossible. We are at war. What side are you on? Let's pray. Our Lord God, we thank you that you are the one who has led us from death to life, that you've sent your Son to be our leader, our King, the one who would die for us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for being our leader and that we have life through you. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for giving us the gift of faith, that we would live by faith and not by feeling. And we thank you that this faith then leads us into living our lives a very different way. and that we have a very different identity and a very different destiny. We thank you for being our God, for calling us to be yours. Let us find great comfort in being your children. As we wage war, as this war continues to wage on around us, we ask that you will defeat Satan and his descendants, that you would do that through the gospel, that you'd bring them to saving faith, and that your name would be praised as the great, merciful, and powerful God of all the earth. Do this for your name's sake. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.